Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
You've been fasting how many days now? And you should be discerning enough to know that at the end of the 40 days of fasting with Jesus Christ, the devil came and tempted him. So your weakest days are those last days. And you must be discerning enough to know. You who's been excited and flowing in the Spirit all through. You who rejoiced in the Holy Ghost last week Sunday. And then this Sunday, it's just a drag. A day to the biggest meeting of our lives. Or how many days now? 3-4 days to the biggest meeting of our lives. And we're not sensitive enough. God forbid that I miss what God is doing. Some people think that we're playing here. I said, God forbid that I miss what God is doing in my life. Okay. Exodus. I don't have a teaching. I'm going to flow. But I beg you. Key in. Exodus 19 verse 10. Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. And consecrate them today. And tomorrow, let them wash their clothes. It says, for on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. I'm telling you that 3-4 days from now, God will come down in a gathering of people. I wish I was praying a prayer. But I'm not praying a prayer. I'm telling you a reality. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You might be there and other people are experiencing a mountaintop experience. And just because you are not sensitive, you can miss out on it. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? We're preparing for the biggest meetings of our life in this church. It's our end of the year camp meeting. We call it Christ Life Camp. And some of you might be like, why the fuss? Why? But you see, in this story, God was about to show up in their midst. But what did he say Moses should do to them? He said Moses should what? Consecrate them. He said they should wash their clothes. So guess what? 3 days from now, in the city of Lagos, we're going to be having the first part of this meeting. But some of you haven't washed your clothes. I'm speaking metaphorically, but you know what I'm talking about. You haven't prepared. And just 2 weeks after that, we're going to have another meeting here in Windsor. And heaven is going to be on earth that day. But here's the problem. You're not ready. You haven't prepared. So usually we would have longer times of preparation. But because I wanted to finish the Joy series, you know, we have shorter time. And I want to show you that time is not on your side in preparing. When God wants to meet with people, he tells them to prepare. You know why? Because if you don't prepare, you could miss what God is doing, even though it was right in front of you. Are you listening to me? There are do's and don'ts when God comes on a mountain. There are things to do, things not to do. There are protocols. And you have to know those protocols. You have to know how to conduct yourself, how to show up, the right attitude to have, the right heart posture to have. And so a preparation has to happen. Ask someone beside you, say, are you prepared? Did they answer you? It's not rhetorical. Ask them, do you even know that anything's happening? Some don't even know that we have a meeting. Amen. But listen, preparation is important because there's a way you must conduct yourself when God says he's going to show up. And for us, Christ Life Camp is like the mountain for us. Because God was the one who asked us to have this meeting at the end of the year. And if he says he's going to show up, oh, then we must be ready as well to show up. Are you listening to me? we must be what? Ready as well to show up. Because God will meet you at the point of your expectation. He will meet you at the point of your hunger. And this teaching is timekeeper for a reason. How many of you ever served as timekeeper in school? Anybody? Okay, I did. So sharp people in school. And some guys. You know? But if you're ever a timekeeper, you had to monitor the clock, figure out what is going on, and you had to announce that to the rest of the school. In whatever method. In my school, it was a bell. You take the bell everywhere and you're going and, you know, and you're shouting, short break, you know. But the whole idea is that a timekeeper is someone who keeps track of time, you know, track of the seasons. He knows what is going on so he can announce it to the others. And Jesus spoke about something similar in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Let's read together like a mass choir, everybody. Matthew 16 verse 1. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes,
read together. 1, 2, go.
Pause.
There's something mass choir and random. Amen. Are you ready to read now? 1, 2, go. Asked that he should show them a sign from heaven. Next verse. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Hallelujah. Are you getting this story? What happened here? They asked Jesus for a sign. How many of you have been asking for a sign? In whatever form, you've asked the Lord for a sign. You've asked him for answers. You've asked him for purpose. You've asked him to help your devotion. You've asked him to help your unbelief. And they asked Jesus as well. Show us a sign. And instead of Jesus to answer and show them a sign, he called them hypocrites. You know why? He said, you know how to discern the signs of the time. You are even worse. You have the weather app. So you don't even look at this. You just check your phone. Okay, rain. You carry umbrella. Some of you trust that app with your life. Right? Because if it says it's going to be cold, you dare not go out without a jacket. And you see what I'm trying to say? But Jesus is saying, you know how to discern the signs of the times, but you can't discern my signs. Meaning, you're able to predict the weather, but you're not sensitive in the spirit. Don't you understand? You live in a world that overlaps. That's the whole goal of heaven and earth. That you're not just living, there's not just a physical realm, there is a spiritual realm. There is a spirit realm. Don't let anyone deceive you. This earth is not just of this realm. There is a spirit realm, and it is real. And so if you can discern the signs of the times in this natural world, you should be able to discern the signs of the time in the spirit. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? You should be. You should pay attention to it. If you can tell that it will rain today because you looked at the cloud or because you looked at your weather app, then you should be able to discern the signs of the time in the spirit. You should be able to ask God, what is your plan for my life? How should I prepare in this season? What should I do? What season is it in my life? Do you even ask God what season you're in? Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? Please, are you learning something today? In another point, they asked him for a sign. He said, no sign shall be given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. That as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days. So what was he saying to them? He was saying, you are not going to receive any sign apart from the things that are written in scripture. That if you know how I have been in the scripture, the things that have happened in the scriptures, you can predict what will happen soon. And in that actual story, what he was trying to show them was that if you were looking for a sign that the Messiah is coming, God has been telling you signs a long time ago. Because if Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, God was telling you a story that a man will come soon that will be in the belly of the earth 3 days as well, and he will come back to life. How many of you know that Jonah died? So if a man has died 3 days before and come back to life, and what was the next thing he went to do when he came back to life? Preach the gospel. Then he's saying, God was telling you a story that very soon, another man, the real man that Jonah's life was telling a story of, will come. He will die 3 days. He will be in the earth. And he will come back to life. Do I need to explain to you that Jonah really died? No, you all know, right? Okay, good. Are you following me, somebody? So that if you've been walking with God for a period of time, you should be intelligent enough to be a timekeeper, to watch for the signs of the time, to look at God's plans and God's dealings on the earth, and know that this is the season that I'm in. How has he worked in the past? Can I discern seasons based on that? How has he worked in the lives of people that I've seen? Can I discern seasons based on that? Listen to me. Seasons are critical, are important. If you understand seasons, you would soar where your friends are working. You will glide where your friends are toiling. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you plant a crop in the wrong season, you will work a lot. If you plant it in the right season, nature will do the work for you. Okay. Did you hear what I just said? Meaning that there are seasons of your life where you should be doing particular things. And if you align with the seasons in the spirit, all things will align rightly. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so maybe the better thing to discern is the seasons of the spirit. Because if I can understand the seasons in the spirit and I can sow my seed in that period, I'm destined for success. Did you hear what I just said? I'm destined for success. If I can discern, because now I understand that this natural realm is not on its own. It is influenced by the spirit realm. He says, because the things that we see were made from things unseen. You get what I'm saying, somebody? And so, if the world that we see is created from the world that we cannot see, and the world that we cannot see influences the world that we can see every day, then I should know that if I discern the seasons in the world we cannot see, then I'll be successful in the world that we can see. Because there's a lot of overlap. Listen, when God is doing something, the whole world responds to it. Do you get my point? So if you just discern what is going on in the spirit, you'll be better. Maybe your struggle in devotion will be solved if you can discern the spirit and not just hear. Maybe the healing you're looking for, hey, you would receive if you can discern there, not here. Are you listening to me, somebody? What did the woman with the issue of blood do? She didn't discern here. She discerned there. Here, she had done everything she could do. Listen to me. Do you know what it means to go to every healer you can find in 12 years? Do you know what I'm saying? 12 years of your life. That means every healer in town knows you. You've gone there. It also means you've probably spent everything you have to heal yourself and nothing worked. Listen, I think it's credit on her that after 12 years, she was still willing to go to anybody. Because you know, if you've been struggling with something up to 12 years, it takes a lot to still stand up and say, oh, there's another healer in town. But she heard that there was one. And she stood up. She said, I'm going. That's not someone who is discerning here. If it was about discerning here, she would have been tired. She would have felt helpless. But she said, you know what? I'm going to go. And she got there. And she didn't also just discern here because too many people were there. Some of you, when you get there, you do not see seats. You're like, oh, they are not serious in this meeting. You know, that's what some of us do when our friends invite us for special meetings. You get there and one usher just misbehaves and you're like, what am I even doing here? It's because I came. And you just missed your season of visitation. Listen to me. I don't want to skip. I'll come back to it. Remind me that I want to teach God's method, amen. I'll come back to you. Amen. So that's how we'll distribute the teaching. Remind me, I'll say that part. I'll say that part. But what was I saying? Let me finish that. So you have to discern. Let me finish the story of the woman with the issue of blood. So she didn't just discern the natural that so many people were there, because the fact that so many people were there did not mean that all of them were blessed by Jesus. The fact that so many people were there did not mean that day was the visitation of all of the people that were there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what did she do? She said, I might not be able to talk to him, but if I should just touch the hem of his garment. Listen, that has never been a method of healing before she invented it. By desire. Listen to me. There are things that we saw in the New Testament that were inventions in healing. Apron, shadow. Jesus never healed anybody by shadow. People were hungry enough to say, we can't see the apostles, but let's lay our sick on the road. If they are, you know, so one person is there telling you that you as man worship, you are worshiping the men, whereas people are getting healed. Please be careful when people tell you things and try to sway your heart from the miraculous. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? So if it was in our day, Twitter would have carried, look what Peter did. He was using a shadow. Doctrine of the devil. You know? Whereas people are getting healed. Saying, man worship. This is hero worship. You are worshiping the man. Is he God? You see a video of people. You know, I watched a video of a man of God. He was walking by and someone brought passports and just passed his front, and he just touched the passport and blessed it and walked away. In my, you know, I can't laugh. You know why? That man knows where his faith is. He knows where his faith is. You see, as that touch. The man of God might not even have had it in mind to pray over it. But just by desire and expectation, he has received something. So you can actually, by desire and expectation, draw out power to your direction that even the man of God was not planning to release. Because men of God are just vessels. Are you getting what I'm trying to say, somebody? So in that situation, she knew. She said, this must be my day if I just touch the hem. And just like that, she created a new... So, if not because Jesus felt that virtue left him, no one would have known. And she would have gone home healed. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? So, you have to be able to discern seasons. That's why you don't take any meeting lightly. Especially when it's a special meeting like this. You know why? And let me receive my word back. Men are God's method. Men. And someone might be like, but Pastor said God is going to descend from heaven. I must be able to see him physically. You might not see God, but you see his servant. And that does not mean that God is not there. Okay. If you understand the God you serve and you understand how he walks, you'll be descending. God walks through men. When he wanted to fill the world with his glory, what did he do? He created a man. He gave him authority, dominion. Gave him everything. He said, subdue and fill the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what he did. And even after that happened, every other thing that God started to do, he did through men. So if God wants to bless a generation, you'll bless a man. If God wants to bless a family, you'll bless a man. God blesses many with one. That's his method. When he wanted to create the world, he created the plant and put the seed to reproduce after itself inside of it. That's what the Bible tells you, right? He created in it the seed so that it can reproduce. So the forest is going to come, but he started with one. Are you listening to what I'm saying, somebody? So when God is doing a work in your family, is he doing a work in your family? He blesses you. He changes your life. He changes your story. When God wants to bless a generation, he blesses a man. God works with men. Men are God's method. And so if God wants to bless your church, he sends you a man as well. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He says, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So for your building up. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So those people could have said, you're going to put your, are they God? But listen, some people just said, if the apostles pass, if their shadow should touch the sick, they'll be healed. While people are still negotiating if that's doctrinal or not, the sick was being healed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to ask you today, where is your expectation and your desire? Are you discerning the season? Are you listening to me? Catalyst Windsor, are you listening to me? You know, someone said it before. You can say all you want that Lagos meeting is always, I think it was this other that was saying it, which day? That Lagos meeting is always fire, this one. I don't think it has anything to do with the location, as it has to do with the people. If you want an earthquake in the spirit to happen in the place you are gathered, all you need to do is raise your expectation. There's something you can do about it. So, you are here saying, oh, when pastor goes, he becomes another man. I do the same preparation for both of you. Same. You think if I step into Lagos and do pre-camp meeting service, everywhere will not hear? I know the glory of God is here. The question is, do you know it? Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Listen, I've prepared, I'm still preparing. I see the things that the Lord wants to do, and I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be ready for it. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. What does the Bible say? Are you ready, everybody? What's my own? All I can do is help you. Everybody read together. 1, 2, go. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Verse 43. When your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another. Why? Come on, everybody, why? So when I pray that prayer for you, say a big amen. Amen. God forbid that you miss your time of visitation. Amen. Let me cajole you the way they used to cajole. Maybe you don't understand the level of your amen. Maybe. Because people need to understand that response is synonymous. God reads the heart. I said you will not miss the season of your visitation. Amen. Don't blame those aunties that used to do your amen. Don't blame them. It's your fault. They want to help you respond well. Don't blame them. Because it shows. Listen, be sensitive to every response you give to God from now. I'm telling you. Let me say another thing they used to say jokingly that is true. You don't know when the angel of your blessing is right beside you. Amen? Yeah. You don't know. Because the angels of the Lord many times are in operation and are present in a place. But sometimes God can send specific angels to answer specific prayers. This is a true concept. Are you getting what I'm saying? It can be right there beside you. And you are there swiping Instagram. It's okay. Father, are you sure this is a guy? This bro no read you. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? Now, it might be funny, but I'm telling you the truth. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. I have a lot to share with you today. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. I hear in my spirit someone who is going to, in 10 months from now, sing the song I'm hearing in my spirit. Thank you, Jesus. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. Okay. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. See what I sense the anointing of the Lord strong. Thank you, Jesus. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. This kind of prophecies is more and more is going to come. Don't worry. I just heard a note that sounded like this song, and the Holy Spirit just ministered that to me. You know. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Oh, we didn't read this. Okay, let's read this. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Even the star in the heavens knows her appointed time. See that? Even the turtle dove understands seasons. You're not just a natural man, you're a man of the spirit. And so you should understand spiritual seasons. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You should understand spiritual seasons. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. I have another weird word. In Christ's life camp, someone, God is going to tell you the name of the person you're going to get married to. Wait. Now, this one is not just because you desire it. God will show you. The person might already have been in your proximity. I'm not saying that's how it will. I'm saying the person might already have been in your proximity. And he will tell, and you would know for sure. And after that, the conversations, everything to make it happen will be so easy. You know me, I don't used to give word on marriage and all these things. If God did not tell me, I will not say. This your amen is very loud. You have not said amen to any prayer like this since I've been praying. Amen. Is it, Mabi? You are even dressed close to it. Hey! Hey. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. See, please, from today, start praying and saying, Lord, I'm discerning. Let's be ready for your notes to be full. Be ready for prophecies. Everything you hear, God, start writing it. That's the kind of ministry you belong to. We walk with prophecy. You get what I'm saying? Start writing it down. Listen, please. Christ Life Camp is not starting 22nd. Plan to stream every session of the Lagos meeting. Listen, there's something I'm going to do. We're going to make opportunity for us to stream here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or if we're not doing here, we do at somebody's house. But listen, try. If you want someone to keep you accountable, form groups. 4, 5. Your goal is that before Pastor comes back, If you stream it on the time or after the time, before I get back, you must have listened to everything. I've spoken to some of you this year, and I was talking about something I've taught before, and you could not remember, and it was because you didn't stream the last Lagos meeting, choir especially. Because they are the ones I usually talk to. So I'll mention I've taught something before. They'll be like, oh, I've never heard that before. Like, eh? So you have to listen to it. Because, and listen to me, you guys always enjoy when you are the first meeting. But this time, you are the second meeting. Meaning, I would have done all the prerequisites there. Because it's going to be a flow. I'm not going to repeat anything I teach there, here. So you must listen to that so you can be prepared for this. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Very important. Sunday is going to be here, and you're going to stream what I'm going to preach on Sunday over there. Okay? So show up, worship, and everything will be normal until the preaching. Amen? So come ready. Hallelujah. Apostolic order is here. The Lord brought a vision back to my mind that He showed me a few months ago of an angel that was standing on a rod and stretching another rod towards our church. And I remember the Lord telling me the meaning of that. You know, it started from Leaps and Bounds to Shekinah till now. And what is happening is that there's an increasing because of the work God wants to do with this ministry. And as He points to different people, there's an impartation on them that is coming and is growing strong. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I'm telling you that angel is going to be present again in this meeting. Are you listening to me? In this meeting, He will be present. Listen, let me not go ahead and something God has told me. You should hear it in the meeting, not here. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that what? Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What did He say should come? Times of refreshing. Next verse, what does He say? Everybody want to go? Which God has spoken by the mouth. So there are two times He says a person who repents and believes the gospel, there are two times He says they should look out for. What's the first time? And what's the second one? Times of restoration or restitution of all things. So after salvation, there are two specific times you should look out for. And the first one He calls Kairos. Of refreshing. That's the Greek word for the word times there. Kairos. And Kairos refers to opportune time, seasons, moments that are not frequent or in any natural order of the day. And then the second He calls Chronos. And Chronos is your natural time, your daily time. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Predictable time. This means that the moment you get saved, there are some things that are benefits that you will receive. And one of those benefits He calls Kairos of refreshing. And then He says, there's another one called what? Times, which is Chronos of what? Restoration. Now, I believe that He uses the word Chronos of restoration because we know for sure that the time that Jesus will come is set. There's an appointed time. Amen? And it's in order. But before that appointed time, when Jesus comes, there will be many seasons of refreshing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What did I call it? Many seasons of refreshing. And this is God's plan for your sustenance as a believer. Many seasons of refreshing in the middle to help you, to restore you. It's going to be like a dew. I always say this. Have you ever, you know, do you know what a dew is? You know, when it doesn't rain sometimes overnight in the morning and you see everywhere covered with like water. Right? That's dew from the night. Something fresh. something refreshing, something cool. That even when you're going through a hard time, God can send a season. So those seasons sometimes will come in form of revivals, in form of special meetings, anything that refreshes you in the Lord. You're going to have many seasons of it. I get what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to say that God has promised you seasons of refreshing. But do you discern them? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because you have to discern them. A revival can be happening right beside you. A season of restoration can be looming. Or rather, a season of what? Refreshing can be looming. But are you discerning of it so you can take advantage of it? Are you following me, somebody? So proper study of this will bring us to a conclusion about times of refreshing. That number one, there will be several times of refreshing. Number two, it is for people who are saved. Number three, it will truly refresh you and cause spiritual rejuvenation. And number four, it would help you expect the time of restoration. I should say it again. Number one, there will be several of it. What did I say number one is? Number two, it is for those who are saved. Are you learning something today? Oof. What's number three? You don't know it. You will be truly refreshed by it. Meaning it will be a time of spiritual rejuvenation. Spiritual rejuvenation. Have you experienced spiritual rejuvenation before? Right, you can experience much more. I thought you'd say a big amen there. Woo! And number four, it would help you expect the time of restoration. That's when Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. And one way that God gives us seasons of refreshing is through special meetings. Did you hear what I'm saying? One way that God gives us seasons of refreshing is through special meetings, camp meetings, revivals, anything that leads to a refreshing of your body, a refreshing of your spirit, you know, directs your mind and refocuses you on Christ and His coming, strengthens your spirit, awakens you to more in God. I get what I'm trying to say, somebody. In special meetings. In special meetings, we spend long hours in the Word. Are you excited about that? Yeah. You know, we can do 30, 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. In camp meeting, we do some above the hour mark. You know, maybe in this one we're about to do, I can decide to shift you into some 2 hours teaching. Hallelujah. In special meeting, we spend long hours in prayer. Amen. Exactly. So, I don't like giving you the time so that it will shock you. You must truly be shocked. Amen. So, don't expect it to be business as usual. Expect it to be the time where you separate yourself from the world so that you can focus on God. Meaning everything you receive normally during a weekly service, you receive with intensity in the camp meeting. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You break protocols of your natural course of life so that you can receive the emphasis of the Spirit in that period. Amen. Ideally, I almost took you to another city so that you really feel like you're on camp, you know. But I just pity you this time. But ideally, because you're not supposed to be in your house. And maybe very soon we'll start to do that. Because the goal is not to feel the comfort of your home. The goal is that for this period, you leave that comfort. There should be some listen, your body should be weak so that your spirit can come back to life. We'll give you some spiritual CPR. You know? All those dead prayer altars, come back. You know why? Because when you leave your home, there's nothing you can do unless you book a cab to go home. You must call for the prayer. If we do 24 hours prayer, even if you get angry, you will still be there. You will sleep and wake up, you will still be there. In this one, you can just open the door. That's why I don't like that we are doing it in Windsor. I almost move you to Lakeshore. The smoke will be moving. There is to be doing this in Manitoba. Are you following me? Why is this important? Listen, because the Bible tells you it's the last days. It's important. Number one, there's a devil who seeks to kill and destroy. Number two, God desires you and your time. Number three, his work is dependent on your ability to respond. Number four, your future depends on it. You don't need to write this one. I'm just telling you. It's a warning. You want to write it? So you can know it. Okay, number one, there's a devil and he's seeking to kill and destroy. Oh, you know there's a devil, right? Hey! If you don't pray, you will know that there's a devil. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. So there's a devil. And he's seeking who to kill and destroy. Some of you know because he attacked your devotion this year. Yes, now. No, he's saying amen to respond that he can relate. He's saying the truth. Okay, sorry. I thought that's what he said. The way you say amen in this church, the place, that's how over to say amen in the wrong place. But are you guys following what I'm saying? Did the devil attack your devotion? Gave you some? It's because you did not discern seasons of visitation. I taught you last year. I said, I just want to repeat some tips. Let me give you some more tips. Listen. Number one, I have point two in this teaching. Number one, to function well as a believer, you must have several seasons of refreshing and retreat in a year. Several. So I'm putting four teachings together like this in one. That's why there are many points. So to function well as a believer, you must have several times of refreshing. You know what times of refreshing are now, right? Uh-huh. You must have several. Several. We try in this church, we give you 2 camp meetings. That's good enough. But you need many more. Actually, listen to me. If you have the time, you should retreat once every month. If you don't have the time, retreat at least once every quarter. So maybe the way you should do it is plan your personal retreat. For next year now, have a plan. Personal retreat in the first quarter. Catalyst camp in the second quarter. Personal retreat in the third quarter, and then Christ Life Camp in the fourth quarter. So that at least you have a retreat. After every camp meeting, don't you feel refreshed for 4 months? Then you return. It's not your fault completely. There's a devil out to destroy you. This world and the things you feed on, it's not normal. Some of you, the things you experience in class, you need detox. Some of you, the people you work with, you need some detox. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So some of you used to feel like you are impenetrable, you know? Amen. Number two, believers must take out time at the end of cycles to reconfigure themselves. Believers must take out time at the end of cycles, C-Y-C-L-E-S, cycles, to be able to track where they are and discern the will of God. So you must take off time to regroup, to retreat at the end of cycles. The difference between number one and two. Number one is to function well as a believer. You must have several times of refreshing in the year. Number two is that you must take out time at the end of cycles. Now, I'm using the word cycles to refer to anything you start and stop in your life. You start a new job, you end a new job, you end a job. So at the end of a job, you should take out a time to retreat. At least to ask the Lord, what next? Are you getting what I'm saying? You're starting something new, it ends, you move to a new city, what next? What am I doing here? So that's why I'm saying, you know, cycle. So it seems the same, but it's not necessarily the same. The first one is that you must have seasons of retreat. The second one is that you must take out time at the end of cycles to reconfigure. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? To ask the Lord. And then number three, the growth of the believer can be traced to discipleship, yes, but not just discipleship, can be traced to special meetings. Oh, the growth of a believer can be traced to special seasons that change their life. Listen, I am a product of special meetings. this church is a product of special meetings. Did you hear what I said? This church is what? So maybe I can say your future is dependent on how you show up to special meetings. Because God is going to show up in those meetings. And those meetings are life-defining, destiny-aligning. It's critical. Are you listening to me, somebody? I don't remember the timelines well. In winter 2019, I was in a special meeting. My pastor was preaching, and we're so expectant in that meeting. Hey! He wanted to preach. He could not preach because of how hungry we were in that meeting. You know, you can change the course of a meeting by expectation. Hey, Jesus. Are you listening to me? And that was my first proper experience, I think. 2019. Went for 2020. Went for a special meeting as well. And I went for two. Actually three. At the end of the year, I went for three. Oh, me, that's how I work. I'm going to teach you something in camp meeting. There are some things that God has put in your hands and has given you methods that when you want to see the anointing of God on your head, on your life strong, there's what to do. So I knew what I was looking for. I knew what to do. Showed up for three camp meetings. Each of those camp meetings having nothing less than 5 hours of prayer each. Are you listening to me? So there's no way God will not answer me because, sir, I'm ready. Wherever your grace is, I'm there. So I showed up because I needed to pray that year. So I can't remember the third one. I went for two, you know, and then ended one. And I remember that at the final one, actually, at the second one I went to, random people were walking up. I will sit down at the back because I didn't want anybody to talk to me. You know, some people used to give word. You know, when they come, they will be giving everybody word. They will not let you pray. You'll say, hey, the Lord said, it's good, I like it. But that day, I was not up for it. I just really wanted to pray and touch God. And every word I was receiving, people started saying, when it's time for flight, you will take flight. Someone came to me and said, I saw the Catalyst logo, but with a wing on it. I've never told these people anything about anything. I saw a wing on it. Another lady came to me and said, I saw the Catalyst logo on a brick pavement, and there was snow on top of it. Okay. And more people kept on giving me words about flight. So someone, people prophesied to the point that they prophesied where the money for my travel will come from. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So even if I don't want to travel, are you getting what I'm saying? Even if those are products of special meetings. So, no, actually, what I'm saying now happened in 22. I think what happened in 21 was that I saw a vision of us starting a church. Yes. I needed to decide what will happen to the fellowship that I was doing at the time. I was about to close it down. So, in 20, because we started Catalyst Fellowship 2021. So, in 20, I was asking the Lord, what should I do about the fellowship? And then in a special meeting, I saw a vision. And in that vision, you know, what's that? You remember something? We started 21. Hey, we are not in the timeline again. Tell me. Mm-hmm. We wanted to close down in 19. Okay, sorry. At least you know it's real. I'm not forming the story. So she says 19. I'll just go with what she says. So 19, I wanted to close it down. Went for a special meeting. And in that special meeting, I saw myself in a vision preaching. You know, I remember I was in a meeting. That was the meeting. I think that was the meeting where an angel tapped me and I raised my head up. So in a special meeting, supernatural things can happen like that. So what happened in the meeting? Let me tell you the story properly. I was praying. I was seated like at the back of some people. And I felt a tap on my shoulder. So I looked back. Like, guys, why are you tapping me? But everybody was far from me. Very far from me. And that was the first time I actually had an angelic encounter of that kind of sort. You know, I think I was thinking of something. I was angry at the time. So it was my season in that moment. Something supernatural was about to happen in that moment, but I didn't know. I was still bothered about what I was talking about. And then as it tapped me, I looked back and I was like, so I even went ahead to call them. And they were worshiping, but people were like, why are you disturbing us? You know that kind of thing. People are worshiping and they are. So I was like, sorry, did you tap me? I was like, no. I asked people beside me, did you tap me? No. And the moment I knew that it was an angel, it was that kind of Eli moment when he says, next time say, yes, Lord, answer. The moment I knew it was an angel, I heard a voice tell me, it's time, get ready. So I was wearing a zipper, like hoodie like this, you know, and I closed it and I zipped it up and I looked up and I heard my name right from the stage. Are you listening to me? No, this one is not in the spirit, in real life. So I heard it's time. I closed the zipper, did this, and raised up my head. And my pastor shouted, Mike, my, listen, in that meeting, there were more than 1,500 people. So maybe that's my own woman with issue of blood experience. Zipped up and looked, and I heard it, and it, Jesus told me glory. See, I flew. I don't know if you've expressed that kind of shit before. Nothing touched you, but it's like Avatar, like someone just gave you boom. I flew meters back. I knew something had changed. The following year, so that would be what now? Where were we before? 20. So whatever she said, 2020. Again, I had a similar encounter where the Lord singled me out again in a special meeting. Then next year is what? Because I don't know where we are right now. Okay, then 2022 I came. Okay, so 2021 I had another. See, it's always like the devil tries to disturb me. I'm trying to teach you so you can know how to put your attention when you're in special meetings. Remember that first one, I was distracted and an angel was the one that made me focus. In this one again, I was distracted. What happened? You know when there's a lot of crowd in like a meeting and they're trying to organize people? So this time, I was in the gallery. I had slept off. By the time I woke up, I saw that they had asked everybody in the hall to leave so that they can rearrange people, you know, into the space. So imagine me coming down when the place was empty. And the protocol officer that saw me was like, ah, what are you doing here? So I was like, I was up since I was sleeping. Then he made a remark. Cairo sleep, almost like I was lying and I was pretending so I could sit in front. First of all, I go sit that front. I will sit down there. If you know me, you know me. That's expectation. So I will not feel bad if it's about sitting in front. Don't worry, I know what I'm here to receive. But the comment just made it look as if I was lying. So I was so angry. Like, why would you even think such of me? I don't like to be labeled a liar. So I made a decision that because of that, I would sit in the gallery just to prove a point. You know, because I was that pissed. I was sitting in the gallery, you know. So I went back upstairs, I put my seat, and then the Holy Spirit told me, this time it was not an angel, it was the Holy Spirit. He told me, say, Russ, you know why you are here. Better behave yourself and consider in that front. So I felt a strong nudge in my spirit that you can't let this get to you. You know why you are here. Carried my bag and went to sit in front. I did not care. If you like, say I'm a liar. If you like, say listen. And I wish I prepared to play these tracks for you, but I didn't prepare to. Maybe if you go on my page, you'll see it. And we're in a meeting, and just like that, in a meeting, pastor comes up and he walks up and he just says, everybody say after me, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, repeat after me, everybody. I'm ready to receive all you have for me in this meeting. One more time, say Holy Ghost. I have it memorized, everything he said. This is what he said. I'm ready to receive all that you. Some of you are looking at me, miracles might be happening beside you, better be sensitive. All that you have for me in this meeting. My kick by, I say Holy Ghost. That was exactly how he came. Are you listening to me? About to teach. And just right there where I sat, I stood up. And he said, repeat after me. Then I said it. I said, Holy Ghost, I'm ready. I'm ready to receive, all you have for me in this meeting. He said, I prophesy to you. Your teaching ministry moves to another level. He prophesied, and Jesus, they don't even touch me. I just fall for floor. Bah! You know, I was on the floor. Listen, go and check it. That was the fastest year of ministry I ever had. Fastest year. Are you listening to me? The next, that was Apostolos, I think. That meeting was Apostolos. That was 2021, I believe. 2022 was when I came here. So me, the boy who had been doing ministry in only one place, had so much growth in ministry that year. The following year, I was here doing ministry again, seeing results. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. So every year, special meetings have shaped my life. Following year, I went back. I received a word. See, me, I said, I receive. Hey! And I want to teach you that you have to be like that. You have to ask the Lord, God, whatever you have for me, I must receive it. Is there evidence? I went for deeper. So my own next year is settled. I don't know about yours. We're about to give you some time to prepare for yours. Me, I'm not me. I'm secure though. I know what God wants to do next year. I went for a special meeting. And I got there. And I knew that God had something for me. So while I was there, I didn't even know how God was going to do it. And Pastor John says, maybe we'll take down this sermon because I'm sharing a lot of personal stuff. And this is not how I teach usually, but you know what? We'll see how it goes. And Pastor John says, if you had a dream where you saw me in the last 2 weeks. Now, I don't dream about him anymore. Last time I did that was like many, many years ago when God wanted to confirm him as my spiritual father. That was when I used to dream. And some of you that work with this ministry, you know that that's a grace that has been replicated, an angelic, you know, ministration where God begins to show me to you in your dreams when he wants you to follow our ministry. So, but recently, I've been having dreams. Dreams of proximity, you know, interesting ones. So then, he mentions that and I'm out there. So now he's praying for people and he sees me and he skips over me. I'm like, what did I do wrong? Did I put something on my head? You know, he goes again and he skips over me again. I'm like, okay, Lord. So he went. One time I just said, you know what, Lord, I think I surrender. So I just knelt on the floor and said, Lord, at that point I was crying already because for me, that's my moment. That's my season. I've discerned it. I'm here for it. I don't dress anyhow for meetings though. I cack up, suit. You know, morning session when we are praying, I can wear casual. Afternoon, I can wear it. Night! I'm wearing my suit. Does not matter where I'm sitting down because I'm here on business. I'm teaching you by my stories. I'm teaching you. I show up like the man I want God to impact me to be. I get what I'm saying? And so, in that meeting, you will see. Next, 2026 is here. You will see. I'm trying to show you that we are products of meetings. Seasons of refreshing. I can count prophecies. I can trace everything we've seen in our lives to that I received in meetings. Amen? I've shown you what my notes look like with my teaching, right? Uh-huh. I have a folder there that is for words. You know it. I have a folder there that is for words. I track them, you know. So as the words happen, I check it. Come. If it does not happen, I pray over it until I see it. So listen, nothing that is happening in our church today is surprising to me. Nothing that will happen in the next 2, 3, 4 years will shock me because the Lord has told me. Are you listening to me? And you can walk in seasons ahead. Do you hear what I said? You can walk discerning the seasons and the times of that realm so you can operate effectively. Are you learning something today? I have a lot to share. I didn't even scratch the surface of my notes, but I want us to pray. Do you want to pray? Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Let me find a prayer point. I don't want to pray like this is a destiny matter, because it is a destiny matter. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You don't seem ready. I said, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus, please be descending. Say, Lord Jesus, Christ Life Camp is a meeting of destiny. It's a destination of supernatural impartation. It's a ground of consecration. Father, help me prepare to receive all you have for me in that meeting. Can you begin to pray right now? Shale berekele baria kombre kalia. Shale bereke deleke be kombrai. Ipa bereke sote. Atate te teleke bereke dosoi.